Gotta make some announcements. Hey, welcome. Welcome, everybody. Hello? Testing? No? No power. Oh, red light's on. Is it on? Hello? Test, test. Can you hear me back there? No. This is what I like to do with technology. Hello? Test, test, test. On? On? Hello? Hey. Give me volume. Thank you very much. So, hey, my name's Chuck McCoskey, and I got bamboozled into doing this by Brad Shepherd and some of the other board members. Hi, thanks. Thank you very much. Hey, first of all, are there some KGB 144 guys here today? Yeah. Come on, man. Stand up so we can recognize you. Yeah. Fresh off of KGB 144, what, 2 weeks ago now? And you guys are still coming around. I love it. Keep coming back. So this is our third week with Pastor Jeff, but I want to recognize our gals who prepared the food again for us. Thank you guys so much every week. We can count on them. Next week, we have a testimony from Pastor Joe Coffin. A lot of you guys know Pastor Joe. He's been here every week, except he's not here sitting with us this week. So I hope that's not a precursor. I'll have to convince him to come back. Kent, you're going to make sure he's here, right? All right, good man. So Pastor Jeff Newton is sharing with us week three. I'm so excited. I know you guys are too. Man, the tables were full today. Wait a minute. We have a... I just recognized we have the mayor here today. Stand up, Mayor. We're excited that you're here. You're a busy man. I know, but Jeff, you're glad he's here, aren't you?
I'm very glad.
Yes.
I got to talk to him anyway.
We're glad you're here, Mayor. Thank you for showing up today. So, yeah, I'm going to say a prayer, and we're going to let Jeff do his thing. The Spirit's going to talk through him today. I'm excited about it, and can't wait to hear what God's going to reveal to us today. Father God, first of all and foremost, thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit that you placed in us. Just so thankful for your presence in our lives, and thankful for Jeff and as one of your men of service, a man of God who's changed more lives than we could ever count. And I just, he's helped change those lives through you and you working through him and Kareen and their staff. God, just thank you so much for them and their ministry and their work here in Kokomo. And I think about the ripple effects of the lives that have changed and the lives that will be changed for years and generations to come. And God, just we praise you and thank you. All glory to you. Give Jeff a good word for us today, Lord. Open his mind and spirit to be open to whatever you put in and be led by the Spirit. And open our minds and hearts to hear what you have for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for allowing me to be here these past 3 weeks. It's been good. I've enjoyed it, and it's just good to be here. In the scripture today, we're still navigating uncertainty, and today we're going to do something a little different, maybe. But in Matthew chapter 25, there's the parable that Jesus tells of the three guys who a master gave them some money. If you're old school, it's the parable of the talents. If you read it out of the NIV today, it's bags of gold, which is what a talent was. It was just a sum of money. So a master had some money, and he gave it to his servants to invest for him while he was gone. So the first man he gave five bags of gold to, and the second man he gave two bags of gold to, and the last man he gave one bag of gold to. And then he went away. When he came back, the three guys had to report how they did, what their earnings were. The first guy that had the five bags said he had five bags, and he made five bags. And then the scripture here on some of your sheet, the man who had two bags of gold also came and said, "Master," he said, "you've entrusted me with two bags of gold, and see, I've gained two more." And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And the man who received one bag of gold came and said, "Master," he said, "I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, get that word, I was afraid, basically, to invest the money, and I went out and hid it, your gold, in the ground. So here's what you gave me, and here's what belongs to you. As I read that, I was beginning to thinking about how those bags of gold really represent our lives. And how we have only one life. Is that true? We have one life to live, and we have to learn how to invest in people, other people's lives, so that we can leave a legacy. Now, we're never really certain what the future holds for us, right? Nobody's certain what it holds. We don't know how many more days we have or anything like that. But if we're God followers, then we will have eternal life. So we're certain where we're going, but we're not certain what's being left behind to those that are left behind, that are still behind when we leave. Life is kind of like this. If you kind of think of this hourglass, life's like an hourglass, and before you know it, your time is up. And believe me, as I'm getting older, it seems like it was just yesterday that I was in high school, and now it's trickled down, and I don't have much. You know, I have some sand left, hopefully. You never know when your time's going to run out. But the legacy that you leave is eternal. The things that you give is eternal. And did you know you're creating memories no matter what you're doing? Either good memories or bad memories. You're creating memories and just leaving those memories to somebody behind. So you have to let your actions echo through time. You just can't just think about today. You got to let your actions echo through time. And people need to know your story. And it creates the ripple that Chuck was talking about. This ripple effect that will inspire generations to come. And so it's important to do that. It's important to do that. I had a friend who was in a church in Attica. She was 80 years old. She would come. She was had three open heart surgeries. She had brain cancer at one point. She would come to the church every single day, Monday through Friday, and she would pray. And she would use a three-legged cane. She could barely walk. She had to come up stairs, and it was difficult for her to get in. And she would sit in the sanctuary and pray. And there was times when, like, school was canceled because of snow, and I didn't go into the church quickly because my kids were still home. And when I finally got to the church, I could see the three-legged cane in the snow. I felt so bad. She tried to get in. And one day she was in there praying. Before that, we had a service where we talked about this parable, and we actually gave people money. We gave people back money. We gave everybody $5. This was like 30 years ago, so $5 went a little further. And prayed about what she was going to do with the $5. And she was praying about it. She was crying. And she called out, "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor," really loud. And I thought she was having a heart attack, so I went rushing in there. And she goes, "God's given me the answer to what to do with my $5, and I do not want to do it. I don't want to do it." She said, "God told me I need to take the two guys that own the antique store that live a lifestyle that I hate to lunch. And I don't want to do it." I said, "Well, what are you going to do then?" She said, "I'm going to do it." And so she took them to lunch. They became great friends. They became great friends. There was one day, the one guy got AIDS. He had HIV AIDS and he was dying. And she was going to Lafayette. Everybody goes to Lafayette and Attica to the grocery store, the bigger grocery store. They were on the, her and her husband Lowell on the way to the grocery store. And then she said, "Turn around, turn around, we got to turn around." So he turned around, he listened to her, turned around. He said, "We're going to go to this guy's apartment, house." He said, "You can't do that." Her husband said, "You can't do that." They live in a Victorian house that has the outside stairway. They live in the top apartment. The outside stairway is straight up. He said, "You'll never get up the stairs." She goes, "I've got to go." And she went, and she bought a rose, too. She stopped at the flower shop, bought a rose. She went, and she told me it took her 30 minutes to get the stairs. She had to walk two and sit down, all the way up. When she got up to the apartment, the man was laying on the couch. And she'd been talking to him for a couple years. Laying on the couch, his partner pulled up a chair. She sat down. She cradled the guy in her arms, his head in her arms. And she sang to him, "Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And he shook his head, yes. And he died in her arms. That's a legacy. And there was another time when my son was in third grade. He made this picture. And, you know, kids make pictures all the time. He made this picture and he gave it to Ruth. And Ruth took it home, and she said to him, she framed it, and she hung it above her fireplace. And when we go over there, she said, now when I die, this is going to go to you. Because it's so beautiful, it's a masterpiece. It's going to go to you. And so he didn't think much about it. I didn't either. But it encouraged him. And it's something he remembers forever. And then I have a friend named Kareem who's with me today. He leaves a legacy everywhere he goes. He talks to kids. He encourages kids. He helps kids. They may never remember what he says. They remember what he does. Here's a quote from Kareem. He says, I don't care if a kid's black, green, or purple. I don't care if a kid has trouble learning, is a troublemaker, has a disability, or whatever label you want to put on them. I cannot and will not accept that some kids do not matter. They all matter, no matter what. He says, Kareem goes on to say, I stand with those kids and will always fight against the idea that some kids are throwaway kids. There are no throwaway kids. A legacy is not leaving something for people, it's leaving something in people. And so when you're thinking about your legacy, what are you leaving inside of people? What are you saying to people? How are you reacting to people? What are your actions like? Are you really carried along the way? It's really important that as men, that we leave a great legacy behind. And Kareem does that. He does that every day with kids, helping him along the way. They'll never forget him, I'm sure. And then there's a kid that used to live with me, that lived with me for a while. He was his name was Trayshawn. He was 17 and a half. His mother died when he was four. And he was kind of passed around family to family. He's from Chicago. And somehow he ended up at Garden Square, Gateway Gardens, Garden Square, where he was living with some extended family. And he just moved around. So he ended up in Indiana, Kokomo, and he contracted his mother's disease, the same disease that killed her. He inherited it. It was a heart issue, serious heart issue. And so there was one point when he was in our program and he was coming with Kareem during COVID. Kareem and Deanna were making meals and others, were making meals and then delivering to kids' houses because they couldn't get to school to eat. And so every day they'd make food and they would put it in a truck, in a van, and then Trayshawn would go with a couple of other girls and they would deliver the food. Kareem would pull up and they would run the inn. I think it was about 100 meals every day, every lunch they were doing. And COVID got so bad, they kind of closed everything down and wasn't real sure what it was going to be about. And so Kareem said, nobody come back anymore. We'll have Deanna make the food. I'll deliver it. We're not going to put anybody in danger because we don't know what it is. The 17-year-old kid showed up at the door at the outreach. He said to Kareem, you're not going alone. I'm going with you. He went with him every day. And then during the summertime, we had kind of a community unity thing. It was during the death of Floyd, Mr. Floyd, I forget his first name. But there was some little bit of racial tension in Kokomo, not much, but a little bit. And so we had a community unity day right after COVID. It was still kind of COVID-y. And so he was at that party, block party. It was a great time. He was at the block party, and he didn't look well to me. I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I just don't feel well. And then later we found out he was in Riley Hospital. So when he got to the hospital, he began to, the doctors realized he wasn't getting medical care. He wasn't getting medical care. They called Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services, DCS, took him, made him a ward of the state. He couldn't leave Indiana anymore to go home to Chicago to his family. He was stuck here, and they wanted to put him in foster care. 17 and a half. He said, I'm going to go to foster care in the hospital. I'm going to go to foster care. So I talked to my wife, and we said, we'll become emergency foster care workers. You can come and stay with us. So he did. He came to stay with us, and we took him to the Indianapolis Hospital, doctors all the time, and made sure he got his medicine and did all the things he's supposed to do. there was a point where he was going to Chicago to church every Sunday. He would get in the car with somebody, they'd drive all the way to Chicago, he'd leave about 7 o'clock in the morning, they'd get back about 11 o'clock at night, he would go to church. There came a point where he became so ill, he was pretty sick, but he was still going, that he said, the Department of Child Services said, you can't leave the state anymore. He goes, I'm going to church. He got a lawyer and went to court, and he got to go to church. How many here would go to court to go to church? It's hard to get up with the alarm clock, right?
Yeah.
He did that. He also was 2 credits away from graduating from high school. He did some of it online during COVID, and he was 2 credits away, and he was put in hospice. And he knew he was going to die. And he knew he wasn't going to make it till June. But he wanted to graduate. And he couldn't even talk to him and said, it's not, you don't need to graduate. Why would you need to graduate? You're not going to need it. He said, I got to graduate. And so the school got a waiver, and they were able to give him the final exams. And if he passed the final exams, he was going to be able to graduate. So they gave him the final exams. I don't know if he passed it by one. I don't know what his score was, but he passed both the classes, both, and got his credits. And then they had a special graduation service at the high school. I pushed him across in his wheelchair to get his diploma. Kareem was there. Today we have a wall in our, well, to make a long story short, he finally passed away. He passed away in my house. He was really, really ill. He was very frail. But we made a wall in the outreach building that's in memory of him. It has his diploma on the wall. So when a kid says, I can't do it, I can't get through high school, Kareem takes me to that wall and says, if he can do it, you can do it. It tells a story. Trey Sean at 17, he turned 18 with us. At age 18, his legacy lives on and on and on and on. And there's also a scholarship in his name for the kids in the program. So what he was trying to do and what he said to me was, I want to leave my name on people's hearts, not on a tombstone. He said, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. But I want my name on a tombstone. I want my name in people's hearts. And that's what happened. That's leaving a legacy. That's leaving a legacy. Now, Ruth, back to my friend Ruth. She passed away. When she passed away, I was pastoring. Now I'd moved. I was up in that church in Lowell, the bigger church. And the calling was going to be on a Wednesday night. And my son, who is now in high school, like a freshman in high school, said, we have to go to her calling. I said, we can't. It's on Wednesday. That's a busy church night. It's when all the children are there. I've got all this stuff going on. We just can't do it. And plus, it's a different time zone. It only goes till 8 o'clock. And by the time we get there, time to get up, it's just not going to work. He said, you got to make it work. He didn't really talk back very often, but he said, you got to make this work. We're going to go. So we went. We got there 5 minutes till 8. Her husband, Lowell, was sitting on a chair, a stool. He saw us come in. And when my son got up to him, he reached around like this. And he did this. He said, Ruth knew you were going to come. And she told me to bring this for you. So this thing's on our wall today. So legacy is important. Legacy matters. It's not that you have to do great big things. This was a third grade picture that she framed. It was befriending somebody at a lunch. It was making sure that things were done in orderly ways. It's making sure that you're leaving your names not on your tombstone, but in the hearts of others. It's most important to leave your faith with your kids. Now, I'm just an everyday, ordinary person, so I don't have these big stories like I just told. But one thing that I do One thing that I do for my grandchildren, I have 7 grandchildren. The oldest one is going to be 13. The youngest one is 2. And so what I did for them to try to leave a legacy for them, because I don't see a lot of their all over the United States. And so what I did was I made an email account for each one. And then I emailed them periodically. Then when they turn 18, when they graduate from high school, they're going to get from me a card that has their username and their password. And they can go back and read their whole life. This is what we did on this day. This is what we did on this day. This is what your grandparents were like. This is what your great-grandparents were like. And it has the whole thing. They don't want to hear it now. They could care less. But in the future, this is going to be important. And so that's one example of just everyday, ordinary lives. As a matter of fact, Paul says it very well. Paul says it very well in Romans chapter 12, verses 1. And this is from the Message, so it's more of a paraphrase. It's not a translated paraphrase. But Paul says this: place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. That's what people are going to remember. What you did every day. What you did ordinarily. You're leaving a legacy on folks. You're certain where you're going. We're not certain what the future is for the people we're leaving behind. So we have to begin to think about that and be ready to act. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for everyone here, and I pray that you'd help us to realize that our lives are important and that what we leave others is not stuff. It's not money. It's not a house. It's none of those stuff. It's stuff you can't see, can't feel, but you know. And I pray, Lord God, that we can leave behind our faith, and we can leave behind lessons, and we can leave behind great memories. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to invite the mayor up here. He has something he'd like to say.
Oh,
yeah.
To you.
Well, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Charles.
First of all, thank you, Chuck, for the invitation. Thank you to Brad, Andy, everybody on the board that continues to make Huddle available to the men in our community. Talk about leaving a legacy. This is huge, and I'm embarrassed that I'm right across the street and I don't get here more often, so I apologize to you guys for being here and not being here more often, but I can feel the strength of God from these working through our city. Kareem, thank you, man, for what you do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for what you do. There are a lot of troubled youth in our community, and what he has done to continue what this man has started is incredible. And for you to stand up here and say you're just an ordinary guy,
yeah.
Who else is pretty glad and thankful that he decided to invest his 5 talents instead of burying them and then trying to go to God?
Yeah.
I mean, the talents that you have invested in this community are multiply more than fivefold, and we thank you for that, for what you've done, what you continue to do. And a lot of what you've done, what Kareem has done, what the UP program and Urban Outreach has done, has instilled a sense of trust in these kids that don't trust a lot of the situations that they're in. And when a child, no matter how old we are, because we're all still children in the eyes of God, when we have that trust in someone, it gives us worth and it gives us a sense of being. Back in medieval times, cities had walls built around them, and there was a gate, and only those that were permitted to come and go were given keys to those gates. And those keys were entrusted by them, by those in authority within the village, within the city, within whatever. And so that tradition of giving keys to individuals that those in that community trusted carries on today. So it's my distinct honor because I'm totally beside myself that it hadn't been done before, is to give Jeff Newton a key to the city of Kokomo. I know you're not going anywhere, so you don't need it to come and go, but this is long overdue. So thank you for instilling trust in our community, especially in the youth.
Kareem, I work a lot with scouting, and but what age group do you work with?
It works from ages from 2 to about 9, and then 9 to 18.
Okay, so you mean you work with 5th grade to high school? Which is what Boy Scouts after Weeblo is, 11 to 18. And there's somebody that loves working with the newer boys to make that impact, says another guy that changed and believed in making an impact in our youth so we can make a difference and change the outlook of our city. Thank you. It means a lot.
All right, guys, we got about, 10, 15 minutes. Let's talk about this at your tables. Thank you, Mayor.
Hey, now. Hey, now. Let's take it.